Would you turn your Bible to Exodus 34? Exodus 34. Let's start. Israelite blew their good chance of having a good relationship with God by worshiping golden calf, which is nothing more than a worthless idol. Cannot do anything for the people. Moses interceded to the Lord on their behalf to forgive and be with them all the way to the promised land. God told them, okay, I'm done with you. Go your way. I'll send the angel with you. But I'm not going to go with you, because if I go with you, I will kill all of you. My paraphrase. But that's about it. I will mow them down. And, of course, Moses interceded so that he would stay with them. Just like this Israelite, we also blew our opportunity to live for God from time to time, don't we? We all have done it. But our God is so gracious and so patient with us to forgive us from our sins and shortcomings. He extended his mercy to us time after time. And when our God wrote our names in the Lamb's Book of Life, get this, guys, for our salvation, he already factored in our stupidity. Do you know that? He knew what we are made out of. Bunch of dirtbag. That's what we are. And you may say, that's not nice to call me dirtbag. Well, God used the dirt to create humans, so we are dirtbag, right? It's not an insult, it's just fact. The most comforting thing about that is God knows who we are, but yet still loves us. That's the most comforting thing we ever heard and ever known. Amen? Let's stop and pray. Heavenly Father, you are merciful and gracious and long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for the thousands and forgiving our sins. Oh, God, you are so wonderful. So we thank you, Father. Thank you for allowing us to hear your word, that we may comprehend your mercy in a better way. Teach us today to be tender in our hearts and obedient to your commands. Father, we are asking you to anoint us through the power of the Holy Spirit, that we may comprehend your word. Father, we are asking you to anoint the one who speaks, so that he may not speak his own concept or opinion, but only your word. Father, we pray that this COVID would be removed from the face of the earth. And Father, now we pray for Biden administration. Father, we pray that they may come to know Christ as the Lord and Savior. We know that is your heart desire. You prompt their souls so they may long for your salvation through Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray for our troops, whether they are in the country or out of the country in harm's way, wherever they are, we are asking you to protect them. And your protection also be upon our law enforcement personnel and the firefighters, all the first responders. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. By the way, some of you guys have been donating money for our law enforcement and the military. We're going to go buy a bunch of teeth-rotting things from Costco, and we're going to hand it to them upcoming week. All right, verse 1 of chapter 34, please. The Lord said to Moses, verse 1, cut two tablets of stone like the first one. I will write on this tablet the word that were on the first tablet, which you broke. The Lord reminds him of his temper tantrum, right? So be the ready in the morning and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai and present yourself to me there on the top of the mountain. And no man shall come up with you, and let no man be seen throughout all the mountain. Let neither flock nor herd feed before that mountain. So he, that's Moses, cut two tablets of stone like the first one. Then Moses rose early in the morning and went up Mount Sinai, as the Lord has commanded him, and he took in his hand the two tablets of stone. Stop there, please. The first set of tablet stone was written with the finger of God. How do I know? Because it says, the Bible says so, right? Now, but Moses broke it as the expression of a broken covenant between God and man, because man is the one who broke that covenant by worshiping the golden calf. Now, that their heart is somewhat repented for now, the Lord provided them a new set of tablets as a sign of a new beginning. I'm so grateful to the Lord. He not only forgave us and gave us the opportunity to continue and walk with Christ. Verse 5. Don't look at me like you never done that kind of thing. Now the Lord descended in the cloud, stood with him there, and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, would you underline word merciful and gracious, underline, and underline long suffering, and abounding in goodness and truth. Keep mercy for the thousands of forgiving iniquity and transgression and sins. By no means clearing the guilty. And underline the next phrase all the way to the end of verse 7. Visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to a third and fourth generation. Stop there, please. And then continue in verse 8. So Moses made a haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. Then he said, if now I have found grace in your sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray, go among us, even though that we are stiff-necked people. Pardon our iniquity and our sins, and take us as your inheritance. Stop there, please. I love the way Moses said, we are stiff-necked people. He didn't say, those people, they are the stiff-necked people, and trying to say, I'm not, but they are. None of us are exception of this word, stiff-necked people. We are stubborn people, are we not? Here we see the greatness of God's attribute, the basic declaration of Jewish and Christian theology. The same thing was repeated by Moses in Numbers chapter 4, as well as by Nehemiah in Nehemiah chapter 9 and by Jonah in his book chapter 4. Unbelievers want God's mercy for their sins, but if they can actually admit that they have sinned against God without any cost for them, they expect that God would just forget the sin and wink at their sins and move on. He cannot do that. Why he cannot do that? Because he's righteous and holy God. And how does he keep his mercy and take care of our sin at the same time? An atoning sacrifice. During the Old Testament time, they sacrificed, but they did not, their sacrifices did not take away our sin, their sins. They pointed to the perfect sacrifice that is Jesus Christ in the New Testament. Am I making sense? Jesus Christ, who, when he did come, put away our sins permanently by his death on the cross. That's why his sacrifice is a perfect atoning sacrifice. I should underline the word merciful. Merciful can be also translated as full of compassion. The word translated as gracious comes from the idea of to bend or to stoop in kindness to the inferior. When you, I'm sure you've seen this kind of scene in the movies or reenactment. When the subject get to the meeting place of the king doesn't stoop down. The subjects do. Sometimes they go all the way down to the ground. But our God stooped down to us to pick us up from the muck and mire of hell. It's the grace giving to the undeserving. Word grace, there is no greater word in the language than the word that stands to the undeserved. free gift of the love of God. The idea behind the word long-suffering means God is slow to anger, the opposite of the people who just fly up the handle. He does not have a short fuse, and he is patient with us. There's not a one sin that God would not and cannot forgive, with the exception of the blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Okay, what is the blaspheming the Holy Spirit? Some people think that you're just calling the name, against the Holy Spirit. That's not so. Blaspheming the Holy Spirit, it means completely rejecting the salvation through Jesus Christ's atoning sacrifice. That's his job. It's the Holy Spirit's job to point us, the unbelievers, to Jesus Christ. That's his job. When the person continually say no, 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 no all the way, then they'll come to the point, because Holy Spirit, who is God himself, knows when is enough. This person will never turn to God, and he draw the line, and that person is pretty much blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Am I making sense? So don't think that it's calling names. From reading verse 7, we would think that God is not fair for punishing the innocent children for their ancestors' sin. Let me clarify this for you. Some of you know that there is a heresy called generational curse. The idea of a generational curse has captured the thinking of the many charismatic denomination Christians, because it sounds reasonable. So ancestor did this, ancestor that, and the rest of generation or the third and fourth generation are pretty much doomed. And even says so in the Bible. However, they did not read this in context. Without a doubt, the parents have an influence on children through the inherited trait and parental teachings and examples. But God holds the individual responsible for their choices and sins, not the sins of their ancestor. Agreed? Please don't expect, mom and dad, if you bring your little ones, we have a lot of ankle biters here. Don't expect that Sunday school teachers will set them a right course. They only get to have them 2 hours a week. You get to have the rest of the hours a week. Guess who can influence them more? Not Sunday school teachers. You. Whatever you do, say, think, and behave at home, they will read you. They will not listen to you. Let me rephrase. They will read you, what you say, what you do, more than they will listen to you. There is no generational curse in the Bible. So all the preachers who claim this, TV preachers and so-called evangelists, talking about generational curse, they are using this as marketing tools to drum up more business for themselves. Biblically ignorant people fall for it. Let's continue in verse 10. And he said, "Behold, I make a covenant before all the people. I will do marvels such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. And all the people among whom you are shall see the work of the Lord. For it is an awesome thing that I will do with you. Observe what I command you this day. Behold, I am driving out from before you the Amorite and Canaanite and Hittite and Perizzite and Hivite and the Jebusite." The covenant made between the God and Israel was non-negotiable. Non-negotiable. The Lord dictated the terms for Israel to follow. If they follow it, they would receive a blessing beyond the measure. But if they didn't, they would be punished. It goes the same with us. When we come to Him, we come to Him on His terms. You understand? When I evangelize, when I witness to the people, unbelievers, and some said this to me, "That's not fair. why Jesus is the only way to get to heaven. I think there should be another way to get to heaven. Have you ever heard that? Let me put it this way. Whole universe is God's. Am I correct? Earth belongs to God. Our lives belong to Him. He owns everything. If you create yourself all by yourself, and you live in the universe that created by yourself, then you can make a negotiation with God. But if not, guess what? We have to go along with His terms, not our terms. And people try to somehow, they think that they can make a negotiation. It's wrong. We cannot come to Him and try to negotiate because we are spiritually bankrupt. And there's nothing for us to negotiate with God. After all, God is the one who saved our lives from the eternal damnation in hell. Verse 12, please. Take heed to yourself, lest you make a covenant with the inhabitant of the land where you are going, lest it be a snare in your midst. And you shall destroy their altars and break their sacred pillars and cut down their wooden images. For you shall worship no other god, for the Lord whose name is Jealous and is a jealous God. Would you circle that, please? We're going to come back. Lest you make a covenant with the inhabitant of the Lord, and that they play the hollow with their gods and make the sacrifice to their gods, and one of them invites you and you eat his sacrifice, and you take his daughters for your sons. His daughters play hollow with their gods and make your sons play hollow with their gods. Verse 17, you shall make no molded gods for yourself. Stop, please. The Lord provided the Israelites a new beginning after His forgiveness. But before they moved on, the Lord repeated the important element of the covenant, especially law about idolatry. As we read this Old Testament, we find that the Lord several times, He told the Israelites, destroy every people inside the promised land. He didn't say, just everybody get along and sing kumbaya. He never said that. He told them to destroy them. Why did He do that? Isn't that cruel? The culture of Canaanite was beyond redeemable. They had their chance of repentance for over 400 years. To be exact, 430 years. They had a temple prostitute and baby sacrifice for their idol worship. That is why the Lord did not want Israel to mingle with them. And they were either to destroy them or drive them out of the land completely. There wasn't more than the spiritual lesson for the Lord to prevent the Israelites from cohabiting with the Canaanites in the same land. Do you know what that was? Venereal disease. They had so many people were contaminated with the venereal disease. And they were beyond treatable. And God was trying to protect the Israeli people from that venereal disease. Let me make one thing clear here. Our God is not some possessive and obsessive and insanely jealous freak. He is not jealous of us as if He's competing with other gods. Rather, He is jealous for us. There's two different prepositions, and they're extremely important. One is for, and the other one is of. Our God is jealous for us. He doesn't want us to get involved with idolatry, that anything take away our love from Him, because idolatry hurt us and destroy us in the end. Our God does not want us to experience the horrible things. That's why He is jealous for us. Am I making sense? Since we already studied the Ten Commandments in our previous study, we are going to skip the verse 17 through verse 27. And we are going to skip chapter 35 through 39. And next week we are going to cover the chapter 40. Okay, let's go down to verse 28. So he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate bread nor drank water. And he wrote on the tablet of word of covenant, the Ten Commandments. Now he was so when the Moses came down from the Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand when he came down from the mountain, that the Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with them. So when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. Then Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the rulers of his congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. Afterward, all the children of Israel came near, and he gave them a commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking with him, he put the veil on his face. Note that, please. And whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And he would come out and speak to the children of Israel whatever he had been commanded. Verse 35. And whenever the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, the skin of Moses' face shone, then Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him. Stop, please. Again, Bible critics argue that how can a man go up to the top of the mountain, stay in that place 40 days and 40 nights, and without eating and without drinking? The lady is thinking, give me the recipe so I can cook one meal, and then I don't have to cook for the 40 days. Well, it's not the food he ate. Actually, he didn't eat anything. Why is it difficult for us to understand that portion? God created everything from nothing, didn't he? Do you think that would be difficult for him, God, to keep Moses' tummy full and not thirsty for 40 days and 40 nights so that he doesn't think about the double-double from in and out with the iced tea? I shouldn't talk about this kind of thing right before lunch. Listen to me, please. With God, all things are possible. If you cannot accept what God says, it only proves that you are wrong. You are not getting it. There are a lot of things, listen to me please, there are a lot of things we cannot understand with our intelligence in the Bible. If you cannot understand, that's okay. Just put it away. Put it on somewhere on the note. Put your date on it. Ask God to explain to you. Sometimes he will explain to you, sometimes he won't. Because a lot of times, it goes over our head. But most of the time, he will explain to you. The book of Exodus opens with Moses seeing God's glory in the burning bush. And it closes with the glory of God descending into the camp and filling the tabernacle. Some of us think that having the presence of glory of God in the Israel camp is a kind of luxury and fancy. No, it's not. It is a necessity because the Israelite, it shows the Israel what his people and set apart from the other nations. Other nations may have their own temple, but without the real God. However, Israel's tabernacle was blessed with the presence of the glory of God. Same goes for the presence of the Holy Spirit in the believers of Jesus Christ. If you are born again Christian, hear me well, please. If you are born-again Christian, not just self-called a Christian, born-again Christian, then you have the Holy Spirit. And, presence of the Holy Spirit is a necessity. He is the guarantee of our salvation. And he resides in the temple of the Holy Spirit, that is our body. Since our body is his temple, we need to honor him with our bodies, and minds, and soul, and spirit. Not necessarily with a diet and exercise. I read an article, says, somebody said, If you drink too much coffee and you are harming the body, the temple of the Holy Spirit, I thought, wow, that's extending a little too much. If you like to drink coffee about 5 gallons a day, yeah, that might be excessive. Everything should be done in reasonable amount, right? What, 3 gallons is better? More power to you. Keep your finger, and let's go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. Now he who established us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our heart as what? What's for a guarantee? When you die, your spirit will go to heaven, and the Holy Spirit says, he's mine. Let him in. No Saint Peter at the pearly gate. Okay? He's guaranteeing our entrance to the heaven. Okay, turn to left, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 19, please. Apostle Paul speaking. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? And for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. If you are born again Christian, you belong to Him. Do you know what the GI stands for? American GI, government issued, exactly. For our case is God issued. Then there is another question you might have. Why did Moses wear a veil? He did not want the people to see the glory of God was reflected on his face and fading away. Where do I find it? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, please, again. Verse 13, unlike Moses, who put the veil over his face so that children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. The Jews saw this glory as something wonderful and exciting, but what would they think if they knew that it's fading away? Who wants to follow the leader that God's glory is fading away? Maybe is it pride from the Moses? I don't know. I'm not going to judge his in heart. Moses would go into the tent of the meeting to talk with God without the veil, and his face would reflect the glory of God. And he comes out until he talked with the people, then he put the veil back on. Is that a mask? I don't know. Maybe N95 mask. Probably not. Let's come up with the two applications. Number one, with God, we can have a new beginning in Christ. Amen? The situation may not change the way we want, but our heart will be changed according to His will if we let Him. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Don't sit there without turning your Bible. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, are you there yet? If anyone is in Christ, that means if you are born again Christian, she is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Thank God. Second application. With God, we can have the glory of God, the Holy Spirit in our hearts, and that gives us assurance of the salvation in Christ. I don't know how unbelievers make another day. If they are honest, they don't have a hope. But they are only prayer away from God. Do you know that? I don't know where you were before you came to Christ. Maybe you were doing okay. Maybe you were financially set. but yet you were empty in your heart. How many of you guys remember the actor named Steve McQueen? Young people don't know him. He's the coolest guy. He was the coolest guy. He was the Hollywood. He could do whatever he want. He had money. He was not married, so he had women. And he had a fame. Wherever he went, people thronged after him. But he realized that he was empty. So he left everything behind from Hollywood. Walked away. He drove away. And then he ended up in somewhere in Central California, I believe. And one of those towns that the main street is one street and nothing else. And he got there. And he saw that this biplane flying over. All of a sudden, he decided he wants to learn how to fly. So he waited for that plane to come down and went to see this pilot. And they had lunch, they talked, and pilot took him in the air with his plane. And they became a friend fast. This pilot was a devout Christian. He had a chance to lead Steve McQueen to Christ before his death with cancer. Let me ask you this. The man had everything, yet he didn't have a Christ, so he felt empty. The wisest king, supposedly, but he was the fool, Solomon. Again, he had everything, but he was empty. I don't know whether we're going to see him in heaven or not. At the end, some of his Proverbs written by him talks about God. If you are not born again Christian, you are seeking. You are seeking the truth. You are seeking the fact. Your analytical mind, your logical mind will not be able to explain the salvation. However, if you step forward, take a leap of faith to Christ, you will be able to find Him. You will have hope. You will have eternal life. Love beyond understanding. I want you to close your eyes, bow your head, please.